reading to you from Philippians, the 4th chapter, and with the 12th verse. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengtheneth me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my afflictions. Good evening, my dears and friends. This is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, as you know, I've done practically everything I could do. I wished I could tell you that I'd always done what God wanted me to do. I wished I could tell you that, but I can't, beloved. I've made mistakes. I've got faults just like anyone else. But I'll tell you one thing. This Jesus I talk about has no faults. He has never sinned. And above all, he loves you tonight. So I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or maybe a lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 24th chapter of Acts. 24th chapter of Acts, let's begin reading with the first verse. And after 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders, with a certain attorney named Tertullus, and they brought charges to the governor against Paul. And after Paul had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying to the governor, "Since we have through you attained such much peace, and since by your providence reforms are being carried out for this nation, we acknowledge this in every way and everywhere, most excellent Felix, with all thanksgiving, thankfulness. But that I may not worry you, and further I beg you to grant us by your kindness a brief hearing. For we have found this man a real pest and a fellow who stirs up dissensions among all the Jews throughout the world and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. And he even tried to desecrate the temple. Then we arrested him, and we wanted to judge him according to our own law. But Lysias, the commander, came along and with much violence took him out of our hands, ordering his accusers to come before you. And by examining him yourself concerning all these matters, you will be able to ascertain the things of which we accuse him. And the Jews also joined in the attack, asserting that these things were so. And when the governor had nodded for him to speak, Paul responded, knowing that for many years you have been a judge to this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. Since you can take note of the fact that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem for it to worship, and neither in the temple, nor in the synagogues, nor in the city itself did they find me carrying on a discussion with anything or causing a riot, nor can they prove to you the charges of which they now accuse me. For this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believe everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets, having a hope in God which these men perish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience both before God and before men. Now, after several days, years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings, in which they found me occupied in a temple, having being purified, without any crowd or uproar, but there were certain Jews from Asia. We ought to have been present before you and to make accusation if they should have anything against me." We've labeled this Paul before Felix. Well, as you know, Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit had warned him of bonds and afflictions there. And I read in Acts 20:23, "Except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying, the bonds and afflictions await me." Well, disciples speaking by the Holy Spirit told him not to go. And I read in Acts 21:4, "And after looking up the disciples, we stayed there 7 days, and they kept telling Paul through the Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem." Well, he was begged not to go. But Paul had trouble in Jerusalem. And I read in Acts 22:23, "And as they were crying out and throwing off their clothes and tossing dust into the air." Well, he was telling of his conversions, and it brought persecution and arrest. Friends, listen. I've said this time and time again, and I pray that God will give me the strength to continue to say it. You need to share your testimony with people. You say, "Well, Cecil, I didn't have an experience like you had. I wasn't an alcoholic." Well, praise God, I'm glad you weren't. But I got news for you. Self-righteousness is a sin, too. If you're a sinner and you've been born again, then it's your duty, as Paul did everywhere he went, to share your testimony, even if it doesn't sound glorious and all that things. Everybody has a different testimony. Now, I've heard glorious testimonies where the sunshine and the lightning and thunder and all that. I didn't have that experience. I cried like a baby. You don't have to cry when you're saved, but I did because I was a wretched sinner, and I had come to the end of the road. I had my wife, and I had finally, well, she decided she'd taken all the lies and all the drinking and all the mental abuse that I gave to my family. Not physical. I never did lay a hand on my wife. Maybe I threatened her, but I never did do it. Well, Paul was appealing his rights as a Roman citizen sent to Caesarea. Now, Paul appeared before Felix, the Roman governor. Now, and Paul's accusers in Rome, Romans 24:1, it says, and after Paul had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying to the governor, "Since we have through you attained much peace, and since by your providence reforms are being carried out for this nation, we acknowledge this in every way and everywhere, most excellent Felix, with all thankfulness. But that I may not weary you any further, I beg you to grant us by your kindness a brief hearing." You know, Paul was no stupid moron. He knew how to talk to people. He sure did. Well, Tertullus, an excellent lawyer, began by praising Felix in Acts 24:2. "And after Paul had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying to his governor, 'Since we have through you attained much power and peace by your promise, reforms are being carried out by this nation.'" Oh, my. But he presented three false charges against Paul. Verse 5. "For we have found this man a real pest and a fellow who stirs up dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." Boy, he was called a disturber of the peace, pestilence. He was a mover of sedition among all the Jews. They said he was a profaner in the temple, and he even tried to desecrate the temple. And then we arrested him, and we wanted to judge him according to your own laws. Listen, believers can expect to be falsely accused. Years and years ago, when I was living in Oregon, I received a phone call from Reverend Tom Baird. He was the man that led me to Christ in Seattle so many years before. And he at this time was pastoring a church in Kellogg, Idaho. And he said, Cecil, could you come up and preach a Saturday and a Sunday in our church? Well, I said, I'd like to do that. So my wife and my family, we got in our little car and our little trailer, and we went up to Kellogg. Oh, we had a wonderful time. We went out and we visited and we shared the gospel, testified wherever we went. Things were going just absolutely great. Well, we had a wonderful 2 days. Now, I went back to Oregon, and about 2 months later, I received a phone call from Reverend Tom Baird again. He said, Cecil, my family and I are going to Virginia on a vacation. Could you come up and preach this particular Sunday for me? I said, sure, I'll be glad to. So my fam and I, we got in our little car and our travel trailer and off to get Bella to Idaho we went, Kellogg. Well, you know, friends, the minute I walked in that church, I knew there was something seriously wrong. Oh, my stars, I can't explain to you, but it was awful. It was terrible. So I preached that morning, and a deacon invited my wife and family and I to have dinner with him. So when we went over there to this house, we sat down to eat, and I said, Deacon, there's something terribly wrong in your church. He said, did you feel it? Oh, my stars, did I feel it? What is the problem? Well, Brother Mo, he said, what I'm about to tell you, I don't want to tell you this, but I have to. They're going to fire the preacher as soon as he gets back from down in Virginia. I said, for what? What has he done? Well, he said, you're not going to believe this, but he's been out winning people to Christ right and left, but they're poor people, and they can't afford to support the church. And the church thinks it's time that he quits bringing those riffraff into our church. Riffraff? Poor people? And you know, it stunned me. I couldn't believe what I heard. That night I walked into the pulpit, and friends, I was never so upset in my life. I said, I've never interfered with another man's ministry, like Paul accused him of doing. But I said, if what I heard today is true, that you're going to fire Reverend Tom Baird for bringing the poor people into the church that can't support the church, I'm telling you, God be merciful to you people. Oh, God be merciful to you. You've sinned a terrible sin. Tom Baird came back and they fired him like they said they would. He had to sell all of his furniture to get enough money to gas to go back to Virginia. He was stripped bare. He had been in Virginia about 2 months. There was half of the people in that church worked in the coal mines in Kellogg. One day there was a horrible explosion. I don't know how many of those church members were killed. You say, what are you saying, Cecil? I'm saying, don't mess with God's anointed. That's what the Bible said. Don't mess with God's anointed. Tom was doing what he was called to do. Go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Whether they had money or not, that wasn't the important thing. He didn't care. You know, I don't know how many preachers, and I know a lot of preachers, who was so concerned about alcoholics as Tom Baird, and he never took a drink of booze in his life. See, believers can expect to be falsely accused. Jesus was accused falsely, so we must expect the same treatment. Now listen, a servant is not greater than his Lord. And I read in John 15, where in the world is John 15 here? I had it written down. Well, isn't that something? Anyway, a servant is no greater than his Lord, the Bible says. That's exactly it. One charge against Paul was true. He was, in fact, a leader among the Christians, verse 5. For we have found this man a real pest and a fellow who stirs up dissension among all the Jews throughout the world and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Well, the world rejects and persecutes those who love Christ and serve him. And, well, it happens to you, and it'll happen to me. But it says here in verse 10, and when the governor had nodded for him to speak, Paul responded, knowing that for many years you have been a judge to this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. Since you can take note of the fact that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and neither in the temple, nor in the synagogues, nor in the city itself did they find me carrying on a discussion with anyone or causing a riot. Nor can they prove to you the charges of which they now accuse me. But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing that everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets, having hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Whew. Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you. Oh, brother. Old Paul wasn't afraid to lay it on the line, was he? Well, he answered them cheerfully. Some people might have given in to discouragement. Some accusers would have been bitter toward their accusers, and I suppose you and I would have. Yes, we probably would. But he answered truthfully in verse 11. Read it again. Since you can take note of the fact that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and neither in the synagogue, neither in the temple, nor in the synagogues, nor in the city itself, did they find me carrying on a discussion with any cause of causing a riot. Nor can they prove to you the charges of which they now accuse me. He answered truthfully. He'd gone to Jerusalem. He'd not gone to Jerusalem to cause a riot. He'd gone to Jerusalem to worship God. He confessed that he was a believer in Christ. Now listen, have you ever done that? Have you ever confessed to a lost man that you knew Jesus? Friends, listen, I'm going to tell you a story. There is no call for a secret disciple. No cause for a secret disciple. He insisted that he worshipped according to the words of the prophets. And he admitted that he believed in a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And oh, buddy, boy, that's when things begin to get nasty. Oh, yeah. He said, you boys, and they knew they were unjust. They knew they were liars. But he said, there is a resurrection. You bet your life. The Bible said, every man and every woman on this earth shall stand and give an account for their life. They're going to stand before Jesus. And then he's going to tell them at the great white throne, be gone, ye cursed workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's scary, isn't it? Isn't that scary? I think so. Well, he insisted that he worship according to the words of the prophets, and he admitted that he believed in the resurrection. Paul's truthful answer made his accusers accountable to God. Now, Paul shared his aim in life with Felix. Verse 16. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience both before God and before men. Now, after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings, in which they found me occupied in the temple, having been purified, without any crowd or uproar, but there was certain Jews from Asia who ought to have been present before you and to make accusations if they should have anything against me. Or else, let these men themselves tell what misdeed they found when I stood before the council. Other than for this one statement which I shouted out while standing among them, for the resurrection of the dead, I am on trial before you today. Paul wanted to have a conscience void of offense toward men and God. Listen to me, friends. He also wanted to be right with people. He wanted to be right with God. He also wanted to be right with people. Listen, your aims compare with those of Paul? Boy, that'll give you something to think about, won't it? Sure will. Paul wanted to be generous, bringing gifts to the poor of this people. Friends, when the Jews got saved there, they were immediately thrown out of their house. Did you know what some of those well-to-do Jews did? They sold property, they sold land, they sold houses, so that they could share their blessings with those born-again Jews. Boy, I'm telling you. Paul wanted Felix to know that the resurrection is important. And I read in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Boy, listen, friends, he laid it down as straight as a man could lay it. He said, are you right with both God and people? Are you ready for Christ's return and the resurrection? Well, now, friends, you know, when you share your testimony with a lost person, boy, girl, man, or woman, there's no blood on your hands. You've delivered your soul. You've done what the Lord asked us to do. Be witnesses. Be soul winners. To be concerned. To love people. People are going to hell who don't know Jesus, and a lot of them don't even know it. You know, we got churches full of lost people. I'm telling you, I used to preach in Georgia. And I'm telling you, there was Sunday after, I preached in different churches every Sunday morning and Sunday night all over Georgia. And there was soul saved almost every Sunday. Now, these people were on the church rolls. They'd been good. They'd been baptized. They'd done everything. But one thing they hadn't done, they'd not repented of their sins. Have you repented of your sins? Have you really confessed to the Lord that you are a sinner, hell-bound sinner? Now, Felix now understands more about the gospel, verse 22 and 23. And Agrippa said to Festus, but Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will decide your case. And he gave orders to the centurion for him to be kept in custody and yet have some freedom, and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. Well, he did one good thing. Amen. Do others know more about the gospel because of you? Friends, let me ask you this, and it's personal. Now, I'm talking to the Christian. Have you ever witnessed to a lost man? Have you ever tried to introduce a soul to Christ? If not, shame, shame, shame on you. You haven't, and Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to commit. You have not done what God asked you to do. I wonder, have you truly been born again? Now that's serious talk. You might be baptized, you might have joined the church, you might go to Sunday school, you might read your Bible, you might pray, you might do all these things, but still be as lost as a woodpecker in a snowstorm. That's true. You sure can be. Tonight, let's settle it, shall we? Let's just settle it. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to lead you in a powerful prayer. Now, it's only words if you don't repent. It's just only words. But if you're sorry for your sins and you want to know Jesus, then I'll guarantee you this prayer will change your life. And he'll write your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and there you'll be until you stand before the Lord in the resurrection. And when he brings us to him, when the rapture, that church comes, oh my stars, that's enough to make you jump up and down with joy. Okay, are you ready to pray the sinner's prayer? Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Oh God, please forgive me for all the things I've done bad. Forgive me for ignoring you all these years. But tonight, I'm making it right. I'm opening my heart, and I'm receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone? Call 303-471-8534. Now, I will not use your name on the air. I will not embarrass you. I will not sit down and write and ask you for money. I don't do that. I don't care where you go to church. But boy, I am concerned where you spend eternity. Why don't you call me tonight? You say, well, Cecil, I can't afford to call. Call me collect. I'll pick up the tab. I'm concerned about you, my friend. I really am. But more than that, Jesus is concerned. Because he's standing outstretched arms right now saying, come unto me, all you laboring heavy laden. Okay, I'm waiting for your call. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening tonight. And I thank you so much for your prayers. Oh, I appreciate that. I'm a man that believes that God hears and answers prayer. Oh, I sure do, my stars in the morning. So many times when I was in physical problems, I'd pray and I'd cry and I'd ask the Lord to help me. And he did it. And he'll do it for you tonight. But listen, if you're not saved, if you die in that condition, you're not going to heaven according to the Bible. But he wants you to go to heaven. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. If you don't understand what's going on, you'd like to talk to me. I'm not the smartest man in town, but I can tell you about Jesus. Okay? So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.